Are we willing to get in the middle of things? Are we willing to get in the middle of the mess and know that God is right there with us and He will bless us and encourage us along the way?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Today is a day of joy making. Today is a day of peacemaking, and it's also a day of looking at our purity of heart and looking at who we are in relationship to God and being children of God and being able to see God. So today I want us to think about, are we making peace? Are we dealing with the issues in our lives? Are we aware of our hearts? Are we aware of where our hearts are and what's happening in our heart as we think about our relationships and our work in serving Jesus Christ? And so we'll be dealing with that later on in the service.
Today's scripture lesson comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Consider this. The Father has given us his love. He loves us so much that we are actually called God's dear children. And that's what we are. For this reason, the world doesn't recognize us, and it didn't recognize him either. Dear friends, now we are God's children. What we will be isn't completely clear yet. We do not know when Christ appears. We will be like him because we will see him as he is. So all people who have confidence in Christ keep themselves pure as Christ is pure. Those who live sinful lives are disobeying God. Sin is disobedience. You know that Christ appeared in order to take away our sins. He isn't sinful. Those who live in Christ don't go on sinning. Those who go on sinning haven't seen or known Christ. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you. Whoever does what God approves of has God's approval, as Christ has God's approval. Amen.
We continue with our discussion on the Beatitudes this morning, and we turn to verses 8 and 9. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. This is the word of God. Well, I want to turn to peacemaking first, because it sort of leads its way into the purity of heart. You've probably heard the word shalom at some point in your life, the Hebrew word for peace. And peace is something that we probably struggle with, but peace is not the absence of trouble. We like to think, when we think of peace, that peace means that everything's wonderful and everything's great and everything's marvelous. Well, if we look at our world today, it's certainly not that at all. We see people out protesting. We see people marching. We see people out with signs expressing their concern, their displeasure, their right to protest. So certainly everything is not peaceful in our world. But peace really means it's not the absence of trouble, but what it really means is everything which it takes for a person's highest good. Not just freedom from all trouble, but also the enjoyment of all good. So there has to be the balance in there. There has to be the ability to deal with the trouble, but also the enjoyment of that which is good in our lives as well. Blessed are those who make this world a better place for everyone to live in. And sometimes that means we have to engage in difficulty in order for everyone to live in a place of peacefulness. For you see, part of peacemaking is the ability to make right relationships with one another, to be in the relationship with people that we want to be in. And sometimes that may mean distancing ourselves from people that we can't have a relationship with, that we've tried, we've made every effort to do that. When I was in college at Ball State, I had a young lady that I came to know after second semester. I went to Ball State and lived in the dormitory in the study hall when I first went to Ball State. And about October, I got moved into Woodworth Complex and moved into a room with a young lady who was supposed to have been this other gal's roommate. Well, as it would have it, we became friends, and I became friends with some of her friends from high school, and we would go down to dinner together, and we would have conversations together, and all was going well until we came back after Christmas, and this young lady came back as well. Her father, unfortunately, had taken ill and had passed away, and so it just wasn't possible for her to come to school that fall. Well, life got real interesting after second semester, because I was the odd man out, for you see, I was the stranger in the midst. I was the one who had not had any history with these ladies, but yet I had made relationship with them, and I had become friends with them, but she didn't much care for that. She didn't like it that I had moved into her territory, if you will, and she did some things that were just really out of the order and weren't really appropriate, and I could have made her a cherry pie, finest cherry pie in the world, topped it with ice cream, and it still wouldn't have been right, simply because I was who I was. I had moved into her territory. And I finally put that all together and just had to learn to live with it. Unfortunately, we didn't see one another the next year, and and we got distance from one another. I ended up being the roommate to her roommate that she picked up, who was a darling little gal. She wasn't any bigger than a minute. Her father was a tax lawyer for Eli Lilly, and she was smart as a whip. And she carried around a book bag that had biochemistry books in the back of it, and she'd march those things off to Cooper Science Complex every day, and she'd study out the wazoo, and she was brilliant. She couldn't hear worth a darn. She had double hearing aids in, and her roommate just made life heck for her as well. And so we ended up becoming roommates the next year. But I never could make a right relationship with this young lady. And there are just people that we have that trouble with. We can't, no matter what we do, we can't make a relationship with. We can't make peace with them. And so what we struggle with, in addition to relationships, is we struggle with making peace within our own hearts with the inner conflict of sin and good and evil. Paul talks about, you know, I do that which I want to do, which I know I should do, and that which I know I shouldn't do, I find myself doing anyway. And yet, and there's that, and when you read it, it's a tongue twister. Or if you haven't read it, go back and read Romans chapter 7, 14 to 21 this afternoon, and you'll see. It's a tongue twister. It's hard to read, but it makes the point. I do that which I don't want to do, and that which I know I need to do, I still don't do. And that's the war that goes on with inside of us. The peace that we wrangle with. Trying to struggle to do that which we know is right and finding ourselves still not doing it correctly. So blessing is on the peacemakers, but not necessarily on the peace lovers. Because this peace that we talk about is the ability and the willingness to face the issues that are staring us in the face and deal with and conquer them. Probably all of us have situations in our life that we've had to deal with at one time or another, and they weren't pleasant. They were awful. But we knew we needed to deal with them. And that's part of peacemaking. When we choose not to deal with them and we choose to let them continue to rule in our lives and be a part of our lives and we just keep spinning and spiraling out of control, we're not helping ourselves nor anybody else. So part of peacemaking is getting in there, getting in the midst of the muddiness and the messiness of life and dealing with what we know must be dealt with. And it's not always pretty, and it's not always easy. But that's what peacemaking is really about. It's not a passive, it's an active behavior. We have to be willing to be active as peacemakers in our journey of faith. Peacemakers, then, will be called sons and daughters of God, for they will be willing to do God-like work. You see, God doesn't retract from us, does he? And sometimes we're pretty complicated messes. And so we have to be willing to get in there and get our hands dirty and do the work that even God wants us to do. If we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 to 11, finally, sisters and brothers, goodbye. Paul is getting ready to leave the church at Corinth here. Put things in order. Respond to my encouragement. Be in harmony with each other and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So as we put things in order, God's going to be there in the midst. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 24. Now may the God of peace himself cause you to be completely dedicated to him. And may your spirit, your soul, and your body be kept intact and blameless at our Lord Jesus Christ's coming. And the one who is calling you to be faithful will do this. Are we willing to get in the middle of things? Are we willing to get in the middle of the mess and know that God is right there with us and he will bless us and encourage us along the way? So to be peacemakers, we have to then also be pure of heart, katharos. Now, what does it mean to be pure of heart? Well, this katharos word means something that some of you may recognize. First of all, soiled clothes. We don't wear dirty clothes. We put them in the washing machine. We clean them up so we can wear them again. Corn, which has been winnowed and cleaned of the chaff, is katharos, or pure of heart. Wine or milk, which has been unadulterated or unmixed with water or metal, is pure. So how is your purity of heart today? Purity of heart demands an extreme self-conscience, self-examination of your conscience. So I want us to take a little exam this morning regarding your purity of heart. I want you to maybe just close your eyes and listen and allow yourself to think about where you are in these series of questions I'm about to ask you. And you know, the job of the pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So I'm about to do some afflicting here. All right? Is your work done from motives of self-pay or of service? Is your work done from motives of self-pay or service? Is your service done from selfless motives or of self-display? Is your church work done for the purpose of Christ or for your own prestige? Is your church going an attempt to meet God or fulfilling of a habit and respectability? Are your prayer and Bible reading, are they done from an engaged, sincere desire to keep company with God or from a feeling of superiority to do such a thing and to feel better than maybe someone else who doesn't engage in prayer and Bible reading? Is our religion, that which we identify, is how we understand our spiritual journey, our religion, what we where we worship, is it where we're not conscious of nothing so much as the need of God? Or is it rather the need of God in our hearts? Or is it rather a thing in which we're comfortable in the thoughts of our own piety and our own goodness? Is it about God or is it about us? Those are kind of hard questions, aren't they? An examination of self is a process that may very well bring us up short at times in looking at ourselves and our motives and our reasons for doing things. But sometimes we have to ask ourselves those questions. Why am I doing this? What's my reason? What's my motive? What do I expect to get from this activity? And if your answer isn't that of honoring God, honoring Christ, being true to your relationship with Jesus Christ, then maybe you need to rethink that activity. For Jesus said, only the pure in heart will see God. We can choose, my friends, to be pure of heart, and we can choose to be peacemakers. We can choose to check ourselves and our motives, and we can choose to ask if we're willing to tackle life or be passive in our living. For happy are the people who have pure hearts and who make peace for what they will see, for they will see God and will be called God's children. Amen.
Yeah.
gracious God, we give you thanks that you can help us to learn how to become peacemakers and be pure in heart. Help us to ask ourselves those questions at times when we are ready to do something. Is this what you want me to do? Is this the reason why you want me to do it? And help us to know that we're living in your sunshine. We're living in your faith. We're doing that which you ask us to do. And we give thanks for each of these here this day, that they may continue to see you, that they be called your sons and daughters, and that they may see you in your fullness, because they have done that which you've asked them to do, done it with purity of heart, and done it desiring to live in your peace and help others to be in peace as well. We ask this in your name, we pray. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.